think forgiveness can actually be given so easily. We just constantly like to hold on to pain and suffering and negative views about people.
Sure.
Instead of seeing people for the light and the love that they give.
Welcome to No Duct Tape, the podcast that celebrates the strength in vulnerability and empowers you to embrace your authentic self. I'm your girl Ify, your guide through this transformative exploration of personal stories and growth. How can we create a safe and open space for everyone to thrive and be their best selves? What does it take to overcome societal expectations and speak up with unveiling conviction? Well, together we'll peel back the layers of experiences, uncovering the wisdom gained from our unique paths. Are you ready to embrace vulnerability and unlock the boundless possibilities that await you? Let's embark on this extraordinary adventure of self-discovery and personal empowerment.
Welcome to yet another episode of No Duct Tape. I am your girl, Ify, right here on Jamit. And let me tell you something, today is going to be awesome. It's the first of its kind on No Duct Tape. And I really believe that you guys are going to enjoy it. I have a guest today. Today, I have my best friend, my wife, in the building. Batong the baby!
Ah, not Batong baby, baby. What it do? Hello, hi. Kenna Batong baby.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And I'm really excited to be doing this with my girl, Ify. I don't know why she's an Ify like that, but anyway.
Hey.
Very excited to be having this topic that are you going to introduce it?
We can go in. I mean, it's a conversation. It's something light. We're not going to be all, we have a structure. We don't have a structure. But yeah, today we're going to tap into, you know, relationships because, I mean, that's season two. We're tapping into relationships. But today we're going to be tapping into forgiveness. The very difficult thing. Generally, it can be forgiveness in relationships, family, friendships, all of. But obviously, you know, we're going to see where the conversation takes us. So whatever you want to say, if you want to use, you know, analogies, you want to use examples, you want to use, you know, all of.
I'm not trying to get sued.
Hey, I'm not sued. There's no sued here. Yeah. But let's just tap into the definition of what you believe forgiveness is. What is forgiveness for you?
I think it's grace. Mm-hmm. Because I always say, every time I go into a relationship, I always say to the other person, I want to be with someone that affords me grace.
Mm-hmm.
And grace is a big word for me because I feel like it's the foundation of whether or not somebody is willing to understand that you're a human being with flaws and that you're going to make mistakes and whether or not that person is willing to forgive you or understand you or figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, grace is the thing that separates a stayer from a leaver.
Oh, yeah.
For me. So if someone gives you grace or grants you grace in a relationship, in friendships, whatever it is, that is the difference between knowing if that relationship is worthwhile for them or not.
All right, let's see. Who hasn't forgiven you or who haven't you forgiven? I mean, we all go through periods where you're like, I'm going to stick it to them. You know, I'm going to stick it to them a little bit because they were being a bitch. And I want to show them that, you know what, if you're going to be a bitch, I will be a bitch back. Who stands out?
It actually took me a very long time to forgive you.
Oh, yeah. Now we can.
It actually took me such a long time to forgive you. And I think the reason it took me longer is because I care so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to sit there and go, am I ready to let go of this friendship?
Mm.
You know, it's growing pains. It really was growing pains because I was just like, I'm so mad at you. But me being mad at you was like years worth of stuff.
Yeah.
And I was just like, girl, she probably doesn't even know.
Yeah.
And I think I had a conversation. I don't remember who I had a conversation with. I think I had a conversation with my sister. time. I'm not sure, but I think one of the two, when I say one of the two, my sister or my friend, but I think it was my sister. And she just said, you know, the thing is, you need to let people know that they've wronged you and allow them the opportunity to either fix it or show you that what they did was on purpose.
Yeah.
And only after then can you make a decision, you know. And I had to think about, I mean, I'd been friends with you for like
11 years, man.
Well, not at that time. No, not at the time. Oh, at the time, I think it was like 8, 9.
Okay.
Somewhere there. Yeah. And I was just like, you know, I need us to have this conversation because I, at this point in time, I feel like I have certain boundaries and I feel like you keep crossing those boundaries and it keeps hurting my feelings.
Mm.
And I had to know or understand this thing that you're doing. Are you doing it because you're choosing yourself?
Yeah.
Which in turn means my feelings don't matter.
Mm.
Or are you doing it because you think what you're doing isn't hurting anybody else?
Sure.
Or whatever it is, you know. Yeah. And I think when we finally had the conversation, you were like so shocked.
The whole paragraph, I remember reading it. I was like, what? I didn't know all of this, man.
It was so crazy because I think, and I learned this the other day. When I say the other day, I mean like last week. And I think I told you this and I said, I realized that there's a difference between being a good communicator and articulating yourself well.
People
assume that when you are able to articulate yourself well, it automatically means that you're a good communicator.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes you're both. You're a good communicator and you can articulate yourself well, but you're not good at letting people know when they've wronged you. You're not good at confrontation.
Yeah, yeah.
And I am not good at confrontation.
Oh, yes, you would have avoided it at all costs until the
am not good at confrontation. Yeah. Unless I'm angry. I feel like when I'm hurt, I'm not good at confrontation.
Yeah, it's when you're angry.
When I'm angry, my guy.
Let's start now.
Let's go. What do you mean? Say it to my face.
Yeah,
say it to my face. What do you mean?
Yeah.
You know, I'm like ready to box. So yeah, I think that was really, really difficult for me at the time. Yeah, so that's one of them. I think my biggest or the most difficult relationship or person for me that I had to forgive was my sister. Well, my now late sister. That was the hardest person for me to forgive.
There's a lot.
There's a lot. Going on. Well, now there was. And it was years worth of stuff. For people that have been there like yourself, you know, through the years watching how I interacted with my sister and the things that, you know, she would say to me and the things that she would do
towards you,
you know, and I eventually cut her off. And that was always difficult to explain to people that I cut someone off that I'm not only related to, but I live in the same house with. You know, but thank God for the way that South African houses are set up is that you have like the main
house, the back room.
Which I guess white people would refer to as a cottage.
Yes.
And my room is in the cottage. My room is the cottage. So, you know, I remember the one day where I was wronged and my mom didn't stand up for me, which happened a lot.
Yeah.
Because I'm the youngest, I always had to keep quiet to, you know, salvage the situation. My feelings never mattered.
Yeah.
You know, because I was younger. And she would get away with a lot.
Yeah.
Like, there was this thing where coddling my sister's sensitivity was a thing. My sensitivity was never.
It didn't matter.
She's a crybaby. She's sensitive. Everybody has to constantly, you know, cower to her and her feelings. And I was always on the receiving end of that. And this one time, my mom didn't stand up for me. So I spent 3 weeks not going into the house. I didn't go into the main house. I didn't speak to my whole family.
Imagine the pots and the pans and the stove are in the main house. But you didn't go to the main house. That bad.
I remember there was a time I needed to iron my clothes. And I was like, ooh, the iron isn't there. So I went to my mom's best friend's house, which is 2 houses away.
Yeah.
And I went to go iron my clothing.
Mm.
And I spent three whole weeks. I didn't eat.
In the house
for 3 whole weeks, meaning I either had to get takeaways, which is obviously a lot of money. You know, I had to figure that out. I did not go in there. I figured it out for 3 whole weeks. And I think eventually my mom realized, oh, she's serious.
Yeah, she's hurt. Like, you don't understand. Yeah. Like,
she's not even angry. She's just hurt. You know, and I just said, you know what? Just stay with your daughter.
Yeah.
Stay with your daughter stay with the daughter that you prefer. Stay with the daughter whose feelings matter. And you know, I just for 3 weeks. And then one day she knocked on my door and she came in and then she sat on my bed and she said that she was sorry and that she understood and that she was sorry that, you know, she hurt my feelings and whatever. And, you know, it was good to be acknowledged, but it was sad that
It took that long.
Yeah, I had to go to such an extreme. But also, I didn't do it for them. I did it for myself.
Yeah.
Because I realized I don't want to be in that situation. I don't want to be in that space.
Mm.
You know, and like I said, for years, my sister has done so many. You know, I didn't know. Obviously, I knew that I had acne.
Yeah.
Because it's on my face. I can see it. But I didn't know that I had acne.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Until my sister kept like saying it all the time. And she every time there was an advert on the TV where they would advertise acne products, my sister would go, oh, I should get this for you. And she would come back with that soap and this and this. She used to. And at first, I remember I thought, oh, you know, she really cares about me. But I also realized it was so hurtful that she constantly kept going on about this flaw.
Yeah, instead of sitting down, I think, like, you know, having a conversation that I feel like let's treat your skin or whatever, but let it be like a sister telling her little sister, hey.
Yeah, she made me, and I think it was like also on the outside, people really never mentioned my acne as much, to be honest. But I came home and then here's this person all is talking about.
Yeah.
I have a pimple and you're talking about it. I know I have a new pimple. I can see it. And I think that's what made my relationship with acne in itself unhealthy. So I started scratching a lot.
Yeah.
So I'd scratch. And till today I have this thing. I would rather have a mark than a pimple.
Yeah.
So I actually just get to a place where I was just fine with having marks.
Mm.
You know, and my marks at the time were very extreme. And I remember my mom used to say, you know, it'll go away. I also had acne.
Mm.
And it only went away when I was like 30. You know, but my sister wasn't saying that. And she didn't have acne.
Yeah, she didn't.
She had really good skin. So she didn't get it.
Yeah, she didn't understand the work.
Oh my God. Yeah. But anyway, that was for me my most. I feel like those are like my two big.
Yeah.
My family and friendship, really big ones that I couldn't forgive.
Yeah.
Can't really think about a relationship one because I just genuinely don't care about men enough. So, what was your. Yeah, who was the one person that you felt like was really difficult to forgive?
Ooh, I think the one that stands out the most, and I think a lot of people know about this, my dad. Nobody does. Nobody does. And it actually was quite recent that I forgave him because I thought that I did in the past, right? I was very sure that, oh, I forgave this person, you know, I need to get over it and stuff like that. But, you know, you say you get over stuff, but then you go back. Mm-hmm. And it's like, did you really forgive, you know, or did you just say that you're forgiving for the sake of, oh my gosh, I need to forgive and all those kinds of things. But I needed to tap in and talk to myself about it. I mean, I cried a lot. And I was like, you know what? I genuinely don't need this person in my life. I genuinely don't want this person in my life. I don't want to fix it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do anything about it anymore. In actuality, bro, go in a corner and stay there, you know, by all means, you know. So it took a lot of time.
Mm.
It took a lot of time. And then I just had to make the decision that I needed to forgive him because if I didn't, it was going to eat at me. And it was going to eat at me each and every day. I couldn't just do it.
You?
Yeah, I couldn't do it anymore. And it was consuming. You know, like not forgiving someone is so consuming. Like it consumes and it eats you up and it just takes so much of your time, you know. So, and I think for me personally, I have very forgiving nature. I get quite the spark. I get quite the spark. So I forgive, you know, we'd have fights and then we get over it. We do AA. I mean, that's why when you finally told me what you were angry about, I was like, hey man, we have a problem. And all this time, I didn't even know we had a problem.
Houston, we have a problem.
It was bad. But when I read that paragraph, also, you know, I think we need to teach ourselves that when somebody's sharing how they're feeling about how you made them feel, don't look at it from your perspective. Don't come gut defense. You know, listen to what they're saying. Listen, like, put yourself in their shoes.
Mm.
You know, how would you want them to, you know, receive what you're telling them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was like, but I was never mad that you were mad.
Mm-hmm.
I was never angry or anything. I was like, no, I understand where she's coming from. And she's really, really hurt. And I need to be able to say, I didn't know, or tell the truth that I didn't know that this was happening. And I'm really sorry that this is the position that I put you in.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean? So that then there's movement. I mean, then you make better decisions. But one of the nice thing that I like is like, your sister told you her to talk about it so that you see what the response is after that. Because I could have just been defensive. Ah, when I've been dramatic, you know, and then where would we be?
Well, definitely not.
you know what I mean? So, man, you just need to teach yourself to be held accountable. Like, take your L, if that's how you want to put it. Like, take your L and apologize and sincerely apologize and make better decisions to make sure that you keep your people, man.
But I also feel like, you know, even in that, when you're someone is holding you accountable and you're also holding yourself accountable and trying to see whatever, it's so important. It's important how that other person communicated their feelings as well.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was, you know, speaking to you in a terrible way.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd understand if you were defensive.
Yeah,
but
sure.
But I mean, I probably rewrote that paragraph like 5 times because I wanted how I was feeling to come through without it being insulting.
Sure. Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
And I think once then you receive how that person is saying, and there are things in there that you don't agree with or feel some type of way about, apologize it or speak about it later on.
Sure.
Don't bring it up at that point.
Yeah.
Don't bring up your feelings when I'm expressing how I feel.
Yeah, because then it shuts down.
Yes,
it shuts
do down. That. Because your if you had an issue with me, you should have brought it up at your own time.
You know what I mean?
My time now. And I feel like that is something that people like a lot of times don't get.
Yeah.
Because you'll say this to someone. I think it happens a lot in relationships.
Yeah. And ooh, everybody's like,
you just say it to the boy. And you're like, okay, but I didn't like the way that you spoke to me today, whatever, whatever. And then he says, yeah, but you always do this. You
ooh,
always
do it to me. Ooh, child.
My guy.
Are you listening?
Sunday. You're telling me about something that happened last week. Why did you not bring it up last week, Wednesday, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon? Why are you bringing it up now? This is not your time. This is not your moment. Why are you trying to take the shine away from my issue?
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, us resolving it. Yo. Bashimani.
Yes, yeah, Lugumizes. Bashimani.
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 One thing about men.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, that was it. And then what was your other most difficult relationship?
My other most difficult. Ooh, wait. Friendship. I've never had bad, horrible, like. My friendships are good, guys. Are they?
I know. I don't think that's true.
That's why I'm saying, Hore, when it came to. Well, obviously, when it came to you and I. You know what I mean? The communication has always been there, type of thing. Or, hey, bruh, like, not like this.
We've never had a bad friendship.
We've never, exactly. And we've never had bad fights. Because no. I think, I believe, like, that's why.
Well, there was that time when we all left the house. Have us and our now ex-friend.
Oh, that time.
And that was good. And then we came back home in 3 different cars.
Yeah.
But that was
her thing.
That was my fight. I was not in that
fight. That was a her thing.
I was in the middle.
Yeah. No, but yeah. But also the thing also about it is that.
That was also one of my hardest friendships to forgive. And I still haven't forgiven her.
I
do not believe that I ever will forgive that girl for not being there for me when I needed her most. And I always say this in all of my relationships. And you guys know I say, being there for the other when they need you most is all relationships are, all of them.
Yes.
Family, yes. Friendship, you know.
Relationship,
work bestie, whatever it is. And I even mention work bestie because my now work best friend, our friendship started because when my sister passed away.
She showed up.
She's the only person that physically showed up to my house.
Yeah.
Only person. Mm. And we had barely known each other. They started working for us. July, August, September, my sister passed away.
Imagine.
She's the only
It didn't need to take that long. So figure out what I mean? To show up. Yeah.
Yes. And one of my best friends in the entire world, you know, who I've been through almost, you know, we've been through everything, who my sister adored, couldn't stay, you know, at my house for 24 hours.
Yeah.
She literally was not here for 24 hours. Mm-mm. She arrived on Friday at 10. Yes. Around 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then the funeral happened and then she left, I think, around like 11.
Yeah, after eating, she was left. Ready to go.
Yes, she was essentially here for about 12 hours and then she was out.
Yeah.
She barely helped.
Oh, yeah, she did. Yeah,
she was a guest. Ooh, she had a good night's rest. Mm-hmm. She slept on a bed.
Yes.
Do you know how difficult it is
to sleep on a bed
at a black funeral? You don't even. If you are lucky, one, you don't sleep.
Yes.
Because everybody's busy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're lucky enough, you do sleep, but you sleep somewhere.
Yeah. And the night before, ma'am.
Whatever. The night before, no one sleeps. Not even the family that's mourning. I was forced to sleep. You guys forced me.
You go and sleep, ma'am.
Right now. Right now. You nap. Whenever you get a chance, you nap and the other person is manning the baking station, the cooking, the chopping station. Your neighbors are chopping throughout the night. And there's load shedding in South Africa. Yeah. So, you know, we had a generator to keep the lights on.
Oh,
so
people yeah. could
keep chopping. You know, I think that was the first night in that week that I had slept ish.
Yeah.
A little.
Yeah, because you didn't. Yeah, you didn't.
Yeah, a little time, bit. Ma'am. You know, and here's my friend who was. She's so busy.
Dating. And she stood with us in the kitchen. Like she was stood so there.
Busy dating her boyfriend Yo, that she could not support me through what I genuinely. No, actually, she could not support me through the worst day of my life.
Yeah.
The worst. I mean, I've lost my dad, and I lost my dad a year before I left. I lost my sister, which was also obviously really difficult.
Mm.
But it's like, how are you not able to support me through
what is this, happening right now? Yeah.
How are you that busy?
Mm.
You know? So that's definitely somebody I feel, even when I am ready to forgive her, I probably will never rekindle that relationship.
Yeah, because I think also the tricky one about this one also is that, well, when we go back to how do you receive how you've hurt another person? How, like, how
she was terrible.
Like,
she was terrible when we spoke to her about it.
Yes.
She was rude. She said that we're always coming, our plans are always spontaneous. We never give her a chance and we want her to show up immediately whenever we have plans and all those other things. Ma'am, you left your friend alone in your apartment when she was going through something to go and be with your boyfriend.
Mm. And then you got angry with her because you almost missed a Gautrain that
comes periodically.
Dude.
Then you left your other friend again alone in your apartment during the time when she needed somewhere to stay while she was job hunting. You left her alone in an area which is unfamiliar with people because you needed to go be with your boyfriend. And every single time you're with your boyfriend, he was with his friends. And I remember I said this to him. We had this conversation.
Yes, we
did. When you are with him and his friends, do you never think about your friends? Because those are not your friends.
That's true.
His friends are not your friends. You know, and man, I just hope I'm never so... I never lack in loving myself to an extent that I'm so desperate for other people to love me that at the first chance of what may be love, I rush into it.
Sure.
Because I think I won't get it again.
Mm.
And I think that is what was happening with her.
Mm.
And she thought, I'm going to clutch this thing with both hands because I'll never get it again. And I feel like, you know, if you love yourself enough, you know, it will always come again.
It will, but it the will thing is, if it slips through your fingers, are you sure that's the love that you want also, though? You know what I mean? Because I'm just thinking from a perspective that you're so caught up in, I don't want to lose this. If you lose it, was it yours to begin with? Like, if it was genuine.
That's what I think as well. But I think my opinion is also very, it's biased.
Yeah.
My opinion is biased because I believe that my friends are the true loves of my life.
Yes.
Hence, you know, for a few years, for the early years of my 20s, I was in and out of relationships.
Yeah.
And I've always, you know, you guys know this about me. I'm a leaver. I will leave.
Yes.
And I've always said, I leave relationships with men as quickly as I leave the line at Clicks when it's too long. I would go to this camp. I'll go to Checkers. They have the same products.
Yeah.
You know, for American listeners, that's the drugstore. I could get CeraVe somewhere else. Yes. I am not standing in this long as queue.
For nothing.
Goodbye.
Yes.
You know, I leave my relationships with men very easily because I know I can always find another man.
Mm.
I do not believe that I can always find another friend.
Yes.
I make friends very easily, though. I am like the...
What do you mean? You picked up friends, come on, I think.
Every day, like,
come on, I think.
I am the girls, the drunk girls in the bathroom, but in real life.
Yes.
Every day. Everywhere. Restaurant. Yes.
The works.
Everywhere I go, I am the drunk friend in the bathroom, but like sober.
Yeah.
So I don't struggle meeting new people, but I treasure my friends. I treasure my friendship so much. Right? It's the keeping.
Yeah.
And I love my friends so much, which is why even with going out, I do not like going out with my partners.
Yes.
I.
You will go out with your friends. If they're there.
If my partners.
You will be neglected. neglected. I will tell you. You will
but
be
it's
there.
It's not on purpose. It's not that I neglect you, but you need to come into the fun with me and my friends. Don't expect that I'm going to sit and cuddle you and we're going to, you know, I'm going to be caressing your beard in the corner and not interacting with people.
Yeah.
That's not who I am. You know, you're my partner and I love that you're there. Let's have a good time.
But let's have
with
a good
everybody
time.
Else. Not just the two of us sitting in a corner, unfortunately.
Clearly we nearly swarani the whole night.
Oh my
God. Suffocation.
Oh my God. Honestly, if you want us to be together in a corner, marry me.
Yes.
Plan a wedding.
Please.
I will give you all my attention at the wedding.
Yes.
No one and else. Then, we can slow down the whole time. I'll sit next to you. I'll hold your hand the entire time.
The whole day. Maybe. The whole day.
Then let's do that. Then we can go on a honeymoon and I'll still follow you.
Yeah.
And all that night.
Yeah.
But my, like I said, my opinion is biased because I love my friends so much. Mm. But I've also realized forgiveness in friendships.
It's tricky, right? It's tricky.
Why are friendships the most taxing of the ships?
I think it also goes back to that saying, Yahore, friends are the family that you choose. So they're going to be there for a lifetime. These give a tabo kugang, if anything. Like your family will be there and whatever, but your friends are just there for the long run. Like you don't dump a friend because you found a new friend. You know, like leaving a man because but friendships are just, you choose these people for a lifetime. You're like, I choose you and I want you to be there for a lifetime. We go through everything together. We do everything together. We wipe each other's tears, bruh. Like we build each other up. I mean, I could actually even say that friendships are how like we groom ourselves as people. Like my personality is based on the people that I surround myself with. You get what I mean? I get traits about myself from the people that I hang out with, the people that I spend a lot of time with. And it's really a man or it's really family. It's always somebody that you adopted, which is a friend. You know what I mean?
But
yeah,
with that being said, why do we place them on a much bigger sort of, or much higher rather, pedestal than everybody else? I feel like we actually expect so much more from our friendships than we do relationships, because you have so many instances where girls will forgive a man 5 times before they even think about leaving. But your friend wrongs you,
you're ready
once and by mistake, by the way, they're not even, you know, aware,
they're not knowing,
and already you are subtweeting them on Twitter. You're putting them in tweets saying things that are weird, as opposed to going, hey friend, you know, 2 weeks ago, you did this thing. It's taken me this long to come to grasp with it and process it and put it into, or rather put my feelings into words.
Yeah.
And this is how I feel. Can we have a conversation
about this? You
know, one of my friends recently actually texted me and, you know, she communicated that, you know, I shared something personal about her life that she herself wasn't ready to share. I shared it with a close friend of mine, and that close friend of mine went and shared it with someone else, which I wasn't aware of.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter that I wasn't aware of it. And I said to her, you know, I apologize so much. And, you know, I explained that I'm so sorry because I wasn't even aware that that was happening, you know. And I also realized that obviously me and her will have to have a much more deep conversation about it.
Sure.
Because she feels a certain way because this is a really big thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't know that. But I appreciated that she was able to say, you did this.
Yeah, she didn't like, cut off.
And the way that she communicated that, she was aware that I probably am not even aware of
what's happening. Yeah.
I just was so happy. And I said, oh my God, I'm so happy this thing is happening for my friend. And I'm telling my one friend. And then my friend, you know, broadcasted it. You know, and she even said, I'm not even questioning your friend with the third person. Rather, your friendship with the third person. I'm just saying that I have an issue with, you know, the people that the third person decided
told
to communicate this about me with, you know, and it hurt my feelings because I feel like, you know, you're aware that this is a part of my life I'm not trying to share.
Sure.
And I believe you weren't being malicious, but as a result of your actions, this is what happened.
Yeah.
You know, and I felt terrible, but so much gratitude that she was able to say that. And I think I said, because you were there that day, and I said, you know, even if she decides, you know, for whatever reason she might feel she does not want to continue the friendship, I would be okay with it. And I think that's because, you know, this is a friend that I broke up with.
Yes. And
then I cut her off.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And she showed up, by the way.
I cut her off. Yes, I cut her off. And we hadn't spoken for maybe 2 years. And then my sister passed away and she showed up.
Mm.
She showed up. No questions asked.
Yeah.
And I remember we sat on my bed and, you know, she said, yo, wafeta friendship.
And
we just died. And I said, yeah. Because not because,
bitch, like, come on.
What was that? And we laughed about it. And that was it.
Yeah.
We actually never actually ever really spoke about that thing. But we realized in that moment how stupid it was. You know? But my problem is just I really feel like we hold our friends to this impossible standard.
Yeah.
That we don't hold other people to, you know.
And then when we screw, then they screw up, we're ready.
Yes, we're ready to cut them off. We don't give them grace. We don't communicate. We don't tell them anything.
Yeah.
If you eat that delicious Sunday lunch and you leave your meat and you're like, yes, I'm going to have this meat later on. Then your brother eats that piece of chicken. Your brother eats your piece of chicken. Do you know the pain of that food that you had plans for? And it's not there. But you forgive him.
Yes.
You're going to be annoying. Then tomorrow you're going to forgive your brother and you're going to move on. But you know, but you won't do that for a friend. You won't do that for your friend. You know, if you are on your man's phone taking very cute selfies.
And then you
and
find.
And then you find things. Or you don't find them. A text comes through, you know, and it's from a female. And she says, hey, babe, can't wait to see you later on tonight. I'll be wearing that thing that you like.
Ooh, cha. And then now what happens? You fight with him, but...
he probably won't go out later on tonight.
But forgiveness is there.
And it's immediate.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even fear you leaving because he knows.
That
he knows that you are not going anywhere. But your friends do not. Your friends suffocate when they have to communicate things with you.
Ish.
When they have to tell you things that have happened, where they've wronged you, but it wasn't on purpose, or a mistake happened and it's going to affect you negatively because they know the standard, you know, and how difficult it is. And it's sometimes do we sit and do we question how hard it is to be friends with us?
Actually.
Do you ever sit and you're like...
yeah, actually. Actually,
I feel like I'm... for me, I have felt like a very bad friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, I felt like a bad friend because I'm the depressed friend.
Yeah.
So I'm the friend that's been diagnosed with depression and things happen or circumstances happen and I go through certain periods and I think, damn, I'm so tired of being the sad friend. I always have something going on where I'm sad or I can't make it to that event because something is happening in my life.
Yeah.
You know, someone is sick, someone has passed away. You know, yesterday we went to a funeral.
Yeah, abruptly, ma'am.
We abruptly went to my grandmother's funeral. You know, so, and that thing for me is just, I'm always the sad friend.
Yeah.
I don't know. And that thing sucks. What's your, I'm always the whatever friend?
Yo, I am always the... funny enough, I actually feel the same way, actually. I feel like I'm always just going through something. I just feel like it's just... like, for me, I think the difference between you and me is that when you're not okay, I could pick it up or I go MIA. Like, people can't tell or, yeah, is this person okay or whatever? Like, I just...
yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So it's like, I'm just constantly... gone. And the goneness is like, no one is ever really sure what's the base of the goneness. Are you gone because you just want space?
Yeah.
Are you gone because you're not okay? So I'm constantly like, hey, wait again. Yeah, no, I'm just going to keep quiet because the burden of just constantly being on some, oh my gosh, guys, I'm just going through something and stuff like that. I think for the longest time, the whole daddy issues got boring for me because it's like, you're too, I'll complain about your dad until when? People are tired of hearing this, bruh. You know what I mean? And then I was like, yeah, now I'm keeping this one to myself. I'm not talking about it anymore. I'm not going to go around saying these things. And I remember, I think, well, right, quite recently, I was telling you that I just lost a friend also. Like, we're not friends anymore. And it was based off of this person used things that I told her against me to prove a point. Jahore, you know, you can't use these things as excuses anymore because I needed you. And it's like, in the midst of you saying that you need me, there's never been a time that you've checked up on me. It's me. And I've shown up for you, even in me not being okay. Like, I masked everything. I put everything under the bed and I showed up for you. Calling me at 2 a.m., crying about whatever it is that you're crying about. I was there, even going through whatever it is that I was going through. But even when my life was transitioning and I moved to another city and whatever, you made it about you.
Mm.
And after I told you that, yo, adjusting is painful, you were like, yeah, but you're always using your things as an excuse not to show up. I'm like, oh, okay. We reached that point in our friendship. And I think that's something that you cannot forgive. You know, it's something that you cannot forgive because Kintuelare, if I come to you and I tell you something, you're going to use it against me. I think that's also another reason why I was angry with that friend of ours when you told me what she said to you. I'm like, Heban, she said things like your emotions are a roller coaster. Who says God, that?
I actually forgot.
I will not forget. I will not forget. So
emotions are
a roller coaster. So you know. So you see.
Now I'm angry again.
You see, that's my thing. I'm
angry again. She was so mean.
I remember reading that conversation. Yeah.
So mean, and I think being someone with my diagnosis, but also being the life of the party is very difficult to navigate.
Yeah.
And, you know, going through things is not easy.
Yeah.
Also, I just want to point out that roller coasters are controlled. They have somebody that controls them. So if anything, roller coasters are a very... The roller coaster man knows when he's going to start it.
Yeah, when
he knows how long it's going to take and when it's going to land and how long it's going to take people to get out, whatever. I don't know that.
Mm.
I don't know that a year after I lose my dad, I'm going to lose my sister.
Of course.
You know, I don't know that I have to mother my nephew.
Mm.
I don't know that, you know, in between all of that, my mom is going to become ill. I don't know anything about the things that I'm going to go through because I'm also going through them for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm losing my parent for the first time. I'm losing a sibling for the first time.
Sure.
You know, I'm going to see my brothers more during this period than I've ever seen them my 20, how old am I? 20s.
Almost 28.
No, I'm 25. Thank you. 25 years of life. In my, that's the year I've chosen. It looks good on me. And I'm sticking 25, with it. 25 forever, years of man. Life. Thank you. 25 and one. You know?
Yeah.
And I think that was sort of, I think, the very painful thing, like you're saying, that she used that against me. She used how much she knew about me against me, which is so ironic considering the things that she has been through and the things that I, before you joined our friendship, have been there for, supported her through.
Mm.
It was just really weird.
It was
such a weird statement. I'm still not sure what she meant because, you know, I think the other conversation you were privy to was when after she had left after the funeral and she sent me a message during the weekend, she said, you know, this is going to be a tough period and I hope that you have people around you to get you through it. And my first question was, where are you going to be?
Yeah.
And then I realized she's going to be exactly where she was during the funeral.
No way.
And that is not with me.
Yeah.
That's not with me because she has her man to attend to. And you know what? Shout out to my girl because apparently she's going to marry him. So I hope that works out.
Yeah, I remember reading a tweet. I'm so happy that my people are happy for me. And I'm like,
oh, okay.
We don't even know this. We were not told. We found out on social media and it was like, Aisham, if we didn't know then, now we know. Now we know. And how does one move from that, man? Like, I don't know. Like, yeah, this one is,
like
this
I
one
said, is tough. I feel it was, you know, it was a very painful, it was a painful period.
Mm.
It was a painful loss.
Mm.
But I feel it's so much easier to move on from somebody who says things like that to you.
Yes.
It's so much easier to move on because I think eventually you just start realizing that this specific human being is selfish and then they move. And, you know, I was also in a relationship with someone who was selfish, you know, and watching a narcissist interact with his family is actually really crazy.
And you need to sit for that, man.
Yes. And I think, you know, forgiving, because now I'm moving into the relationship I had with this specific man. Forgiving him for the things that he would do to me and how selfish he was to me was so much easier than forgiving him for the way that he treated his sick grandmother.
Yes.
Because I remember just watching this person and the things that he would say and how angry he would become at this old woman who is clearly not necessarily in her right mind anymore because she's ill, you know, and you're so angry that your grandmother keeps asking you for grandkids.
She's 70 something.
She is sick, you know, and she would ask me and I'd be so flattered and it would be so cute. And you're like, yeah, you know, she has no boundaries. You know, I don't like people that... You don't like people? That's your grandmother.
Dude.
You would not be here if it wasn't for that woman because your mother wouldn't exist.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, and... You know,
here you just are.
Thinking about it and thinking, I can't forgive that. I can't forgive somebody who is cruel to their people.
Yeah.
Watching somebody that I love be cruel. If somebody is nice to me, but isn't nice to other people, that is not the person for me.
Yeah.
Because you're only nice to me because you get something from me.
Yeah.
How are you with people that you gain nothing from?
Ish. Rough.
You know?
That's rough.
And I think that's the thing about forgiveness. I think forgiveness can actually be given so easily. We just constantly like to hold on to pain and suffering and negative views about people.
Sure.
Instead of seeing people for the light and the love that they give and the good stuff that they bring into our lives. You know, you want to be angry at your friend who no longer has a job because now they can't come to the cute events that you guys used to go to.
Imagine.
Because their life has transitioned in a certain way. Mm. But you're not glad that you still get to speak to them. You're not glad that they still call you.
Mm.
You're not glad that if, God forbid, there's a funeral at your home, they will ensure that they're there. And they help out, you know, through their actions.
Sure.
They might not bring you flowers like everybody else, but they're there.
Yeah.
Why are you not celebrating that? Why are you not happy about their presence in your life? Is it because we've become so materialistic as a society that love in its purest form is not enough? I know love in general is enough, but I'm talking about now. Love in its purest form is not enough because actions have become monetary things. When you say someone is loving you through action is when they've called me florist.
Yeah. And it has arrived.
Yes.
Delivery man. Delivery.
It's not luck. Will you be there? Accept. Yeah. You know? Mm. But, you know, your friend showing up to come chill with you and watch TV and drink rooibos.
That's not nothing.
A thing anymore. Mm. You know? Man.
Yeah.
I hate it here.
Yeah.
I hate it here.
Hey.
The ghetto. Tomato, tomato.
Tomato, tomato.
Tomato, tomato.
Ooh. Yeah, no. I think, yeah, we said a lot.
A lot.
We said a lot.
A lot.
We said a lot.
Like, but I think, okay, what have we learned about forgiveness in friendships, forgiveness in family relations, and then forgiveness in your romantic relationships?
I think what I learned for me, forgiveness, is that in spite of anything and everything that happened, I need it for my peace. I need to do it for my peace anyway.
Mm.
You know, like it's important to have peace in my life. It's important for me to let it go. You know, I don't want to put things on my shoulders anymore. It's not my responsibility to hold on to a grudge because you did whatever. You did whatever it is that you did because you did whatever. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Am I going to address it? Sure. Are we going to move past it? I hope so. If we don't, I'm going to forgive you anyway for myself, you know, because it is not my burden to hold. And it will crush me. So I've learned that I have to, like, I want to do it for myself.
Mm.
Let me love myself enough to say, this is not something for me to carry.
Mm.
I'm gonna let it go. And I am sticking with that one. Like, I am carrying it out throughout my life. And I feel lighter for it. Mm. I'm grateful for it. And it's going to be something that I carry on for the rest of my life, no matter what.
Ooh.
For the rest of my life.
Oh.
Like, my dad should know that I am not holding your burden anymore in my life.
Mm.
I'm letting that one go. It's not for me anymore. And it's okay. Have a good life.
That's right.
Parting words, ma'am?
Parting words.
Yes.
I think in friendships.
Yeah.
Allow your friends the same grace that you allow for your romantic partners. Allow your friends to be humans that have flaws.
Mm.
Allow your friends inside. Let them in
and
know when they have wronged you.
Yeah.
Allow your friendships the space and room to grow and evolve.
Mm.
And this is not to say you must always forgive your friends. Sometimes you can see that the friendship has reached, you know, its course, you've reached its destination. You guys have outgrown each other and then you separate. But I feel like you can separate on good terms.
Yeah.
You can separate with your friends on good terms. And that's, again, where the grace comes in. If you give your friends the grace and you know, the privilege of communication, you guys are able to speak and realize, actually, this is where I'm at and this is where I'm at. And, you know, I think I read something and essentially the author was saying that we constantly, I don't know if I read it or if I heard it, but we constantly do this thing where we ask people to meet us where they are not.
Yeah.
We want people to meet us at places where they can't get to, you know? Mm. And then when they don't do that, we get angry at them. But you already knew you were setting that person up for failure because you knew that they can't, that's not where they are able to reach that place or whatever. It's too high.
Mm.
You knew that you were setting up for it. Then you get angry at them for not being able to meet you where you are because that's not where they are.
Yeah.
Allow your friends grace. My God. How about allow your friends grace. My God. I feel like friendships are one of the most beautiful institutions of life.
Mm.
Your friends are the people that will get you from certain places and to the best places and through the worst phases. And your friendship is such a beautiful concept.
It is.
Sisterhood is such a beautiful concept. And I think we just need to nurture it more. I think we need to love it more. I think we need to give more attention to it and almost in as much attention as we do romantic relationships. So that's just my parting word in terms of friendships.
Yeah.
Very passionate about friendships, guys.
Very passionate. It was dedicated a good 2 minutes.
I do not like how mean we are to our friends.
Yeah.
Let's be nicer to our friends.
Mm.
And I think in terms of family is we need to be more strict.
Amen.
We need to be more strict with our family because your family is your blood. And then people start saying, oh, the blood is thicker than... First of all, the saying says, the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb. So it's actually in reverse.
Yeah.
It means the blood of the covenant of the church is stronger than the water of the womb. The water of the womb
is actually
your family, your siblings, you know. And again, I'll say, when I cut off my sister, people looked at me like I was
funny.
But I needed to draw boundaries. And towards, you know, when she eventually left the earth, we were in a good place. But we were in a good place because I fought for my right to draw my boundaries.
Yeah.
And my right to be my own person.
Yeah.
And not the little sister that she felt she wanted.
Sure.
Like, I'm my own human being. And you need to treat me a certain way in order to get certain reactions or whatever from me. And I just think we need to draw more boundaries with our families and not be so forgiving. Because I've realized with families, the more forgiving that you are, the more resentful you actually become.
Yeah.
And you build up this very toxic family structure, which you pass on to your own family and to your own kids one day. So, you know, draw more boundaries, be more forgiving, but also stop forgiving your family members without having the conversation.
Yeah.
Do this thing when you say, I'm going to forgive and I'm going to let it go. But they keep doing this thing. Your family members keep perpetuating the cycle, you know, of speaking to you in a certain way, doing certain things, being in your space, not respecting you because you're just family. You know, your aunts can send you around. They can do this or whatever. Speak to people. Be more open. Be more expressive, you know, and don't be so giving of your forgiveness. You know, you can forgive for peace. That's also your choice.
Yeah.
But I think it's just important for us to be more expressive with our families.
Yeah.
And communicate better and have more boundaries. And in terms of romance.
Hey, leave him. Know,
love lives here. Leave today. Leave him today. As the first sign of wrong. Don't forgive him, my sister. Leave him.
Yeah.
Mushi.
Yeah.
Today. He loves you today. Leave that man, my sister. You can get another one tomorrow. Men are like hangers.
Oof.
Even if all the hangers in your wardrobe are full, somehow, somewhere, if you look well enough, you'll always find another one. You'll never run out of hangers.
Oh,
you don't run out of hangers. Who runs out of hangers in a black household? Nobody.
No.
Literally. I'm joking. But I think in terms of romantic relationships, again, give your people grace. Give your people the grace to make mistakes. Communicate, you know, and only grant and give forgiveness where, you know, it is deserved.
Mm.
But in situations, let's say, where someone ghosts you, whatever it is, you forgive them and you let go for your sake, sure. not for them.
Yeah.
It was never worth it. And just be grateful that you found out who they were before things moved further.
Yeah.
You know, forgive them and then let them go. But I just needed to stop giving grace so freely in romantic relationships. And, you know, we're so strict with our friends. And I think that's, for me, that's what it is. Forgiveness in friendships is just, it's just being gracious. It's giving your people the grace to be, and understanding that they are their own individuals before they became a part of your life. Before they became an extension of you, they are them. Fully,
yes.
wholly,
yes.
with or without you,
sure.
they will be whole.
Mm.
And having those people be extensions means that they bring certain parts of who they are. And if those parts of who they are, you know, are, you know, causing issues for you, whatever it is, just communicate and let, give them the grace to also decide if they want to change those parts to ensure that you guys have a good relationship. So don't just give up on them. Just give your people grace.
Just give your people grace. You can quote her on that one.
You told me that the Lord was gracious enough to forgive you for your sins, child.
Amen.
Jesus.
For Jesus. Wow, that was a mouthful. That was insightful. I think this is the most fruitful episode I've ever had.
Yeah.
Don't worry, she'll be back. She will be back.
And I promise
she will be back. Yeah, she will definitely be back. But yeah, I think if I say any more, I'll ruin what was already said. But anyway, thank you so much for joining. This is No Duct Tape. Forgive, forgive, forgive. I'm your girl, Ify. Thanks for joining me. Ciao.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on this thought-provoking episode of No Duct Tape, where we've explored the importance of creating a safe, open space for personal growth and empowerment. I hope you were inspired to embrace vulnerability, to speak up, and to take steps forward, becoming the best version of yourself. Remember, your story has the power to impact others and create positive change. Join us again next time as we continue to uncover the untold stories and amplify diverse voices. Together, let's build a community where authenticity and acceptance reigns. Until then, keep sharing, keep growing, and keep shining your light. Thank you for tuning in. I'm your girl, Ify. Ciao. No Duct Tape. Embracing vulnerability and building an inclusive community.